Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
That it really freezes you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Oh,
welcome to the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. I am here with my co-host, Tammy Saltz. Today, I'm Tammy Cruzy Arnhem, and we want to welcome you wherever you're tuning in with us this evening. I want to welcome the couple of psychologists I had join us tonight. I hope you're listening. Anyway, we just want to say hello and welcome. We are at South River Community Church, just north of Seattle, Washington, if you're ever in this area, for a live audience Wednesday night. So we're going to open in prayer. We are on the book, The Gift in You, by Dr. Caroline Leaf. We're going through this book together as a group, a little bit kind of branching off on our own a little bit also. So let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would bless those in the studio audience tonight. We pray you'll also bless anyone that is listening, male or female, whatever season they are in their life, that you would be with us. Help us to have words come out that you would like us to say today, and help us take all the thoughts in our hearts captive tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this is talking about how toxic emotions and toxic thoughts are intertwined and inseparable. This is because our thoughts have an emotional component associated with them. All thoughts are emotionally charged. So when you bring a thought up into your consciousness, you also bring up the attached emotion. So this, you know, if you have the book, you can read over how this is, but it talks about how to get rid of the toxic thoughts because and toxic emotions because they're gift blockers. That means we can't work in what God has had us work in our life if we are constantly saying these negative things, doing these negative things, having these emotions attached to us. It says we must break the gift blockers of toxic emotions by, one, using a balancing circuit between the frontal lobe and the amyoglobius to balance our reasoning and emotions. So how do we do this? Now, we know that the frontal lobe isn't all the way developed until you're in your 20s. That's why many places would like to change the drinking age from 21 to 25 or 27, because if your thinking is impaired when it's not already developed, you got some real issues. So we're talking about using that frontal lobe. And actually, we do something called mental cognitive thinking for kids when I do behavioral interventions, and that is, kids are acting out and they don't realize they're acting out. And so they would be going like touching the artwork on the wall as they're passing by it in a hallway. And my supervisors taught me to say, hey, you're touching the artwork on their wall. Just say out loud what they're doing. And I thought, my word, that would drive me crazy if somebody was saying what I'm doing. And she says, because they really, sometimes they just don't know it. And it depends on what the child has experienced, you know, why there is a behavioral issue, whether it's a cognitive or even abuse that they've gone through. We know that post-traumatic stress syndrome in a veteran, is the same as a child who has gone through abuse. The only difference is there's no monuments named after those children. There's no Veterans Day named after that child. They don't get a discount. They don't get free coffee because we don't take into consideration a child that's gone through abuse, not just physical, but sexual, emotional, verbal abuse, also has gone through the same PTSD that someone who has gone through a war has, because they have experienced this war in their mind, this war in their hearts. So in order to feel peace, they have to reconnect to those areas and be rethinking. So I tried it with this kid who was going down the side of the wall like this, touching the art in the elementary school. And I said, you're touching the art on the wall. And he turned around and said, oh, and he put his hand up. And I was like, that was crazy. I wonder if this would have worked with my ex-husband. You're calling someone on the phone, asking him on a date, and you're married. I don't know. Do you think it would have helped?
No.
Do you think he would have stopped?
Pretty sure that he was developed.
Okay, yes. So, you know, in order to take those, and the Bible says, it says in the Bible that we need to take all of our thoughts into captivity. And it says by not allowing, I was looking at a bunch of translations in this, but by not allowing the pride and the arrogance of words that are not God's to take us over. I just talked to somebody who is going through some physical issues, and I called her on the phone because she was basically having these toxic thoughts in her mind. And I called her on the phone and I said, now hold on, wait a minute. You know, what's the situation? I know you're going through a hard time right now. I know you're going through a hard time, but you're not dying. There's nothing that says you're dying. So if you died and we did an autopsy, what's the autopsy showing? You're not dying of anything. You're discouraged, but you're not dying of something. Oh, but just saying those things out loud, and I know it seems kind of silly, but unless someone speaks truth into our minds, into our emotions, and into our brain, it's not there when we're throwing up these toxic words. You know, we not only have to make a conscious decision of speaking truth and speaking things positive, but share them with someone else. And say, hey, you can make it through this time. And so how do we do that? The Bible says that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to have somebody who believes in faith in our Lord and be able to say, hey, I'm really struggling right now. And for them not to judge us back, you know, and say, you know, Lisa, I'm discouraged and I'm tempted with this. And Lisa's response as a Christian is to say, well, then I'm going to pray with you on this. Not that you shouldn't be doing that as a Christian or that it's such a balance that we have to say, the Bible says, to bear one another's burden, to hold it. You know, if you say, hey, will you help me carry these bags out? You don't say, oh, my word, your bags are so heavy. This is ridiculous. Why can't you carry all these bags? No, you might say, wow, that's heavy. But, yeah, absolutely, I could tell why you can't carry them alone. I'll help you. You know, that's how we carry up, bear each other's burdens. The second thing is using this discomfort zone to help identify those gift-blocking emotions. The third is capturing our thoughts. And we just talked about that, taking all thoughts captive. And four, never doing this without prayer and the help of the Holy Spirit. And five, rewiring, making a conscious decision to rewire our brains and decide, I may have thought this way before, but I'm not going to think this way now. I'm going to make a conscious decision. My good friend, her father passed away this past weekend, or the weekend before, and I've been helping her with some things. And she says, you know, every time somebody calls me and says they're sorry, I relive the death. You know, and I said, of course you do, because you love them. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course you do. The Bible says that there's time for sorrow and there's time for weeping. There's time to go through these things. But in every time you have to talk about him, let's not think of your losses, but let's think of everything you gained having him in your life. And so she says, okay. So she called me back, and she says, hey, my cousin's coming over. He called and said, I'm so sorry to hear about your dad, but we shared about his life and how great those portions of his life were. And, you know, and even if there were some times that I didn't agree with what he did, he gave me life. He's my dad. He gave me life. So in all these negative things I could say, I'm thinking, without him, I wouldn't be alive right now. You know, this is great. And the other thing, I have no idea. Okay, great. Okay, is I spoke a few years back around a Father's Day weekend, and I had mentioned something to the effect of that I was so glad that I have a Christian father, and, you know, not everybody knows him, but I have this great dad, and he's a great example in my life and one of my best friends, and just really talked up about my dad. And I said, I didn't know exactly what everything else I said, because this girl was crying so hard in the audience. She was just bawling. She had this long, beautiful hair, and she was just weeping and weeping. And I could tell by the way I was talking about my dad that she didn't feel that way about her dad. So I said something. I'm not really sure what it was, but I felt like I was trying to minister to her and feel like I'm not bragging about my dad, but ministering to her. And I saw her about 4 years later, pretty recently at something else I spoke at. And I was speaking again about my dad. I was like, oh, shoot, that same girl. But I looked, and she was smiling this time. And it was just a totally different thing. And as I was talking, she was agreeing. She was agreeing. And she came up to me afterwards, and she said, Tammy, I don't know if you remember, but I saw you speak a few years ago. And I said, actually, I do remember that. And she said, I had a very, very abusive father that used to molest my siblings in front of me. And I hated my dad, just hated him. But you said something that day, and you said that I could have your dad if you needed one, that your dad is kind of everybody's dad if they need someone. And you can have, and so you know what? I've learned a lot about your dad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's great. And she said, if I see him, I'm going to call him dad.
You better warn him.
But how she accepted that and she totally changed. Did who her dad was change? No. Did her backstory change? No. But she changed who she would decide to think of when a father figure was in her life. And she took that on, and in her mind, that is who a father is. And I thought, that is a perfect example of this. She could make this decision that her emotions absolutely changed with her thoughts, and it happened one way and it happened the other, and it did not change anything about her past. But I will tell you, it changed her future.
Right.
And it changed the whole way that this woman looks at what family is. And she's accepted Christ in her heart, and she knows that she has a heavenly father. But I just thought that was just so cool to me to watch that experience of just someone I just met, like, you know, a couple hours of my whole life. But anyway.
That is pretty cool.
You know what's funny about that? I told the youth group the other day, because a lot of our youth kids don't have one or the other parent-wise. And I told them, like, through my whole life, I always used the fact that I didn't have a dad around as my benefit because I always felt sorry for myself. But nowadays, I look at the males that I have in my life, and I thank God that I have them because I'm more thankful for them knowing what I've had.
Right. See, I can just change it. You can just make a conscious decision and say, wow, you know, how blessed am I, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to continue on with the toxic words. And I don't know how many of you have thought toxic words. You know, I read a story today, I'm not going to go into it, but it was just, one had to do with an animal and one had to do with a kid. And let's see, my Christianity went out the window on what I wanted done to these people. It just was gone. And I was thinking about these toxic thoughts that were going through my head, and I didn't speak them into existence, but I literally couldn't eat today. Because I was so upset about the things that happened to this animal and this child. And, I mean, it so bothered me. And I got to thinking, yes, it should bother me, first of all. It needs to bother you. But it just goes to show how when you harvest those toxic thoughts, what it does to you physically.
And your health.
Huh?
And your health.
Yeah, exactly. What it does to you physically and emotionally. Now, had the people that did this to this animal and this child been in front of me, I guarantee you I would have spoken them. I guarantee you I would have spoken those thoughts without even thinking about it. And I want to say I would have regretted it, but what they did was so heinous, I probably wouldn't have. So I say that because this chapter is about when you think a toxic thought, you're planting a seed. You're burying, a row and in your brain. And then when you harbor that toxic thought, you kind of like, as I continued to read one of the articles, I had to just quit reading. I couldn't finish reading. I couldn't do it. I was so sick. But as I continued to read up to that point, I was planting these toxic seeds. Oh, my heart's just palpitating. As you speak those toxic thoughts, it's like you're watering it and you're fermenting this toxicity, and that's how the toxic thoughts grow in your brain and start choking out those positive ones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And as we read this chapter, that is so untrue, that words are literally affect the part of your brain that causes the pain sensations when you have such a broken bone or something like that. It is the same pain trigger as breaking a bone, as being called something terrible or being hurt by a word. And once that word's spoken, it doesn't just damage the person that you speak it to. I say something terrible to Debbie here. It's not just going to damage her. It's going to damage me. I may feel like I'm validated in my thought process. I may feel validated because she did something so terrible but we have to remember I'm not her judge or jury. And in all honesty, 99 probably 0.9% of people that are abusive because they've been abused.
Mm-hmm.
They're victims in their own right.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to give them. That's it. But so you know, it's really hard in situations like that to pull back and say, you know, this is where I need to say, God, you need to flood my heart with the love to be able to pray for these people.
Yeah.
And I honestly think it's probably one of the hardest things you can do when you're so touched by something that was so cruel, and you just can't understand it. And as I was reading on in this chapter, and I was thinking of the stories that I read, and I was thinking that the damage that's done by the spoken word. I grew up in a Christian home, but and my parents weren't bad in any way, shape, or form, but I had a lot of abuse in my life outside of outside of my initial family from the time I was very young, very young. And as I got older, and there were situations where I wasn't being abused in, I then started abusing myself because that's how I fed that, you know, it's kind of like having a parasite.
Mm-hmm.
You start to crave, you have to, you know, people, there you talk about people that are drama, they just love drama, they have to have drama around them. Well, I honestly believe that people that have drama surrounding them and suck it in, they have a parasite in their heart, in their brain, in their life, and their parasite is craving to be fed. We have to kill the parasite and those toxic thoughts, and we have to plant a new garden in our brain. We have to grow a new crop. It is not going to be easy, and it's probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do because in a lot of cases, like I'm saying, anybody that you would talk to would be like, I completely understand how you feel, that you're totally right, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
We're not right. I'm not okay to have these thoughts about these people because that's not what I'm here for. God has me here to witness to such people, to love them, to pray for them, and bring them into the light. And maybe I can't do it in that certain area, but I've got to remember that that's not my job. It's not my job to hate them. It's not my job to want them to die a horrible death. I'm sorry. I'm not over it yet.
It kind of reminds me of like a garden. You said plant.
Yeah, well, I'm very visual.
The weeds, which always will pull out anything.
Everything,
that's
yeah.
Good. And so the weeds are like that parasite of that
thought.
And you have to constantly be vigilant, leaving your brain, your garden.
Exactly. And the thing that is, as you know, once you have a dandelion, you pull that dandelion, I guarantee you, in a week, you're going to have 10 of them right there. You pull those 10, in a week, you're going to have 20. I mean, that's the way it is. But you have to stay on top of it. You have to poison it. You have to kill it. Totally kill it dead. And guess what? You can never get rid of it 110%. You can never get rid of it all the way. And it's the same thing with the toxic thoughts because we're human. And I don't care how close to God you are a human being, and you are saved by grace and grace only, and you are a sinner saved by grace and grace only. And because you're a sinner, you're going to have toxic thoughts. What you need to learn how to do, what we need to learn how to do, is as those toxic thoughts start to produce in our brains, we need to have the stop switch. And we need, whoa. This is where I call it and I start pulling those weeds because I need to fertilize my brain. I need to fertilize my thoughts with positive. And this chapter goes on to say that love, you know, you've read in the Bible, love conquers all. And it really does. Loving thoughts. If I said something terrible to Becky and I cut her down, as painful as that is to her and as damaging as it would be, if she had friends and family that were supportive in God and supportive of her and loved her, that brought her back up, would it take away the pain that I caused her? No. But guess what? That love and that positive speaking and that positive thought will help. Somebody else is there pulling her weeds and fertilizing her brain because it's so much stronger than the weeds are. Does it take it away? Never. What you say is permanent. I still, and I shouldn't, I know. I've been married, I don't know, 17, 18, 12, I don't know how many years. But I remember, and I told my husband, I said, this is a, and I told him, reading this book, I said, this is a clear example of what you say hurt. I remember my husband saying to me one time that, and I'm sorry, this is kind of candid, that if we broke up, we weren't getting along the first year or so. If we broke up, he'd be with somebody in 3 days. And I mean with somebody in 3 days. It, to this day, is a dagger in my heart. To this day, and do you know what? He doesn't remember saying it. I remind him. Well, you did, and it still hurts. You know, but and I said, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You don't remember it, but to me, when we get in a disagreement, I think of that. I think of it instantly. I think of that. That
because
comment.
You still have an emotion to it, and yeah. So that triggers
exactly.
That emotion, and so you go right there.
Exactly. So I've got some weeding to do. I should get him out there as a host.
one of the ways that we can weed is there's a fact that you can't think of two thoughts at one
right,
time.
Right.
So if you have that poison or what do you call them, toxic thoughts. You have to immediately focus on a good thought.
Yeah.
And that's how you can, like...
Which in that situation, in those some situations is, man, that's literally a God thing going on there because our feeble humanity, I'm sorry, we just are not capable of doing it on our own. When we have people and things that we're supposed to be protecting as human beings, you know, as mothers, as humans,
yeah.
And there's damage done. I mean, there's just this, like, I see a mother bear going out, you know, and it's just like, okay, well, I'm sorry about that. I was supposed to pray for you. I actually felt guilty for my anger. I still feel it. I'm still very angry, and obviously this is something it was like, okay.
Yeah.
I definitely need to work on this, but hey, you know what? I'll tell you, the most important things in my life are my babies. And I mean my grandkids, my kids, they're, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I'm over them. No, of course, I love my kids. But my grandchildren, they're just like these precious little seedlings. And, you know, I just,
Why do you think that God calls us his children? I mean, it's so obvious when you say that with, you know, fear and trembling that no matter what happens, you love your children.
Yes.
Because that's the way God intended us. If we don't, there's some type of other issue. But, you know, how you feel like, oh, there's nothing that can be said, you know, nothing is better than my kids, nothing is better than my grandkids, nothing is, I mean, we should feel like that because
right.
That's what we're made to do. But
mm-hmm.
How much more it says it is our heaven, it says if a bad parent gives gifts to his kids, how much more would your heavenly Father, which is the best parent, give gifts to you. I just read that scripture verse
mm-hmm.
yesterday.
Exactly. And the anger that I feel, imagine. I mean, our God is an angry God. And I'm not saying he's out there throwing lightning bolts, because if he was, I'd have a few ex-husbands that would be dead.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office at 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe, and we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.